Morning, everyone. Welcome to Masechta Yuma. We're today starting the new Masechta. We are on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We're starting with the Mishnah. Okay, we're back to Bavli. And certainly learning the Yushami in of itself was exciting. It was a new experience. And also gave us a much better appreciation for the Bavli. So welcome back to the Bavli. Why are we doing Yuma now? It's in terms of the order of the Molados, it doesn't really fit. Meaning we should really be doing Rosh Hashanah now. In fact, in the if you buy your standard Vilna Shas, you're going to find in the Shas, so first comes Rosh Hashanah, and then afterwards comes Yuma, and then afterwards comes Sukkah. And that makes, of course, perfect sense. That's the way it comes out on the calendar. So why do Yuma now? So I've told you this in the past. It's a great secret. It's such a great secret. And I feel like it's not well known. And that is that the Masechtas are ordered based on the number of Prakim they have. The larger Prakim Masechtas are earlier, and the smaller Prakim Masechtas are later. Once you know that little secret, so then you basically know now the order of the Masechtos. So right, it starts with Shabbos is 24 Prakim, and then it goes to Erevin, which has 10 Prakim, then it goes to Pesachim, which also has 10 Prakim, then it goes to Shkalim, which has 8 Prakim, and then it goes to Yuma, which also has 8 Prakim. Okay, so that's it. That's the magic behind the order of the Masechtos. And then we're going to go to Sukkah. Sukkah's got 5 Prakim, v'chule. Sukkah or Beitza, which one's next? Both of them have 5 Prakim. Okay, good. It could be Sukkah, then after Sukkah, Beitza. But anyway, that's it. That's the magic of the order of the Masechtos. And good. I gave away now a little secret. A good secret to know. Okay, Masechta Avi talks about Yom Kippurim. Yuma. It's described as the day. Because it is a singular day. It's a, right? Can we say the most important day of the year? I don't know if we can say that, but I'll say it. In other words, Yuma. It's the day. So it's a Masechta dedicated to the topic of the discussion of Yom Kippurim. We're going to be focusing most of this Masechta about the Avos Yom Kippurim. Right, because that's where most of the information is surrounding the actual Avodas Hayom, what is done on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash. So that really covers us through the first 7 parakim of the Masechta. So let's say the majority of the Masechta deals with the Avodas Hayom, and then the 8th parak of the Masechta, the one that's more popularly learned, that has to do with the actual Inui Hayom. That's the afflictions that we afflict ourselves on the day of Yom Kippur, and that comes up in the 8th parak. Okay, that's the basic outline of the Masechta, and now let us begin. So what are we talking about? So like most Masechtas work in Yuma is no different in this regard, is that basically it takes us through the day, meaning it starts at the beginning of the day and takes us through the day, right? When we learn Pesachim, we basically have that same format, that same structure, where we start on Erev Pesach, not even Erev Pesach, or La Arba Asar. We start on the night before Pesach, and then we systematically move our way into the day of Erev Pesach, or, right, what should be called Pesach, but really what is in fact Erev Pesach. Fine. Okay, and same thing with Yuma. Yuma, we're going to be starting now with the beginning. Now, where does it begin? Where does the story of Yom Kippur begin? So, interestingly enough, it doesn't start in Yom Kippur, nor does it start the eve of Yom Kippur, but the story of Yom Kippur actually begins 7 days prior to that. So, there's the sequestering of the Kohen. The Kohen Gadol, who is going to be a prime character in the whole Avodas Yom Kippurim, so he needs to be sequestered. So 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, I mean, this is the first thing we're going to be learning in the Mishnah. Sure. 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, so he's going to be placed, tucked away in a room somewhere in the Beis HaMikdash area. We'll try to identify that room. I don't have the Beis HaMikdash behind me in map formation, but we'll try to identify it. And he's there for 7 days. And for those 7 days, he's kept over there until the actual Avodas Yom Kippur. Okay, that's where we're going to be starting. That's going to be our discussion over the course of today, and basically any other preparations that are needed for the Kohen Gadol in preparation for the Avodas Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah starts off, Shivas Yom Kod Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mi Beiso, so 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. So we take the Kohen Gadol, we separate him from his house, Lishkas Parhedrin, and he's placed into a chamber. We spent an entire Masechta last 3 weeks talking about Lishkos, talking about various chambers. So there's a chamber over here which is Lishkas Parhedrin. Okay? I cannot tell you right now geographically where it is in the Beis HaMikdash area, but it's, in other words, it's a special chamber dedicated to him. Now we deputize. We establish another Kohen, and we basically put him in the bullpen. And in the event that the Kohen Gadol can't serve on Yom Kippur, so we'll take the deputy, and we'll give him an aliyah. We'll put him up. Okay. Number 24. Okay, I don't know how many people that helps, but number 24 is the... there it is. Okay, good. So looking at the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be in the northeast. east corner in the Beis HaMikdash. That is where Lishkas Parhedrin. Oh, good. And that's where the Kohen is going to be sequestered. And note, by the way, it's in the Azara. And hold that note somewhere in your head. We're going to come back to that note in just a moment. Okay, so in other words, we have another Kohen in his place. Shema Yera B'Psul, because perhaps a Psul will occur to the Kohen Gadol over the course of the week. He may become Tamei. Rashi gives a couple of examples. If you take a look at Rashi of Metaknilo, Umazminim Kohen Acher, Rashi's back, Umazminim Kohen Acher, Elias Kohen Gadol, Tachtav, Im Yera B'Psul, Keri, Oshar Tuma. So it could be that the Kohen Gadol could become a Keri or any other type of Tuma, HaMa'akvim Alaval Mikdash, which just simply will preclude him, exclude him from going into the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore we will get a new, so we'll have to get a new Kohen Gadol to take his place. So therefore, good, so we have a deputy Kohen Gadol, Niskan Kohen Gadol, who's going to sit there waiting in the bullpen, and maybe he'll get called. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer,
then they'd be separated.
Huh?
He's not going to be
interesting, interesting, unclear. Unclear. Does he require a separation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like the Gemara is going to discuss that, but I do not remember. The Vechiber Bado, sorry, I skipped a line in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Matkin Lo. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, as long as we're preparing him for possible mishaps, so Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what, let's put another wife. Okay, forgive me for saying this. But put another wife in the bullpen in the event, I knew you'd like that, in the event that his wife dies and he needs a wife. Now, why does he need a wife? So, Shema Tamos Ishto, his wife may die. Shenamar, the pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beiso. The Torah says that it provides a kapar for him and his bias. Bias is a euphemism, it refers to his wife. So, in other words, he needs to have a wife. So, basis u ishto. So, basis is a reference to wife. So, in other words, he needs to be married. So, this is Rav Yehuda arguing. Why don't we take the eventuality or the possibility that maybe his wife is going to die and therefore we're going to need to replace his wife? So let's put a wife also there in waiting in the event that his wife dies. So Amru Lo, so they say to him, to Rav Yehuda, came in with herself. Well, then it goes unending. Meaning, they're right. The wife that we put aside, maybe she'll die. So let's have another wife, and maybe she'll die. And it will get into an endless loop. So the Chachamim say to Rav Yehuda, that's just too far remote. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because of what the Chachamim could just simply have said to Rabbi Yehuda was, there's a big difference between becoming Pasul versus death. Meaning, we're only entertaining the possibility that the Kohen will be Pasul. Okay, that's a possibility. It's a real possibility. But you're talking now about the possibility of somebody dying. That's far removed. So it's interesting that the Chachamim don't make that point to Rabbi Yehuda, but rather the point of an Ein Ledav herself. Okay. The idea I shared earlier about the order of the Masechtas is based on the number of Perakim, so I got that from Rabbi Kornfeld. This morning, just take a couple of minutes, I'll share another idea, that's why I have this open. I'll share another idea by Rabbi Kornfeld. It's an unbelievable idea. If you look at the first words of the Mishnah, Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom HaKippur Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso. For 7 days, so we're separating the Kohen Gadol from his house. Okay, so you'll find a lot of Mishnayos, especially in the beginning of Masechtos, use numbers. Numbers is like critical, right? Arba Avos Nezikin, Dal Rosh Hashanah, meaning very often you go through Mishnayos and you're going to find that they open up with numbers. Tosos notes that there doesn't seem to be rhyme or reason. It seems to be somewhat indiscriminate. Yeah. Okay. Seems to be somewhat indiscriminate where the number is placed before the action or sometimes the action is placed before the number. Okay, in other words, we have sometimes, the Tosfos gives a number of examples, right? Dalet Rosh Hashanim, Arba Avos Nezikin, and sometimes, Lifnei Idev Shal Avdei Kochavim Gimel Yamim. Right? First the action, then the number. So that doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason, and so, okay, sometimes number before action, sometimes action before number. Here, there's an emphasis on the word Shivas. Shivas Yamim, the 7 days. So what is the emphasis of Shivas Yamim? So he quotes the Maharsha, and then Rabbi Kornfeld gives a really beautiful pshat. The Maharsha says that there's a relationship between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Okay, the simple relationship is based on the following. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malacha. Now, most malachas you're not allowed to do, but you're allowed to do malacha on Yontif, you're allowed to cook, and do a couple of malachas in order to enjoy the Yontif. But on Shabbos, however, no malachas are allowed. Yom Kippur, where does that categorically belong? To Yantav or to Shabbos? So it belongs to Shabbos. Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. Yom Kippur, there is no heter malacha whatsoever, just like Shabbos. In fact, the Torah, when it describes Yom Kippur, it calls it Shabbos Shabbaton. It refers to it as like a Shabbos. There's a gra, famous gra, in the beginning of Parshas Amar, when Parshas Amar, it starts off, Sheshes Yamin Te'aseh Malacha, over Yom HaShvi, Shabbos Shabbaton. So 6 days you'll do work, and then the seventh day is Shabbos. So the Gra says that's not talking about the days of the week, that's talking about the six Yantivs. On the six Yantiv, Sheshes Yamim, meaning that when I say Yantiv, by the way, I'm talking about the Yantivs Min HaTorah. We're talking about the 2 days of Pesach, first and last day. We're talking about the 1 day of Shavuos. We are then talking about Sukkot, 2 days, first day and last day. We're talking about Rosh Hashanah. That's it. Meaning, so we're talking about the 6 days of Yantav, Sheshes Yomim, Te'aseh Malacha, and then Yom HaShvi, so Shabbos Shabbaton. This is Shabbos. I mean, the Gra says that's a reference to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur.
Does that make sense? Rosh Hashanah is 2 days.
Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. We made Rosh Hashanah into 2 days.
It wasn't always 2 days?
Even Bizman Beis HaMikdash, it was extended to 2 days. But the actual, on the calendar itself, it's 1 day. And the reason why we extend it to 2 days, it's one of the first topics of discussion in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah. First topics? No. But anyway, but the reason why we extend it to 2 days is because of the Karbanos, right? And the Eidim, and, okay, it gets complicated. But anyway, Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. Okay, good. So in other words, so that's a Gra in the beginning of Parshas Emor. It's a beautiful Gra. And then Rabbi Kornfeld makes the following suggestion. This is really his own pshat. Take a couple minutes to get through. The daf is short. And it's really insightful. So Rabbi Kornfeld suggests that the connection between the six yontifs and Yom Kippur to the 7 days of creation may be even stronger. Meaning, so far what we've suggested is that the 6 days there are 6 days of yontif min haTorah, and then there's Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. But what Rabbi Kornfeld now suggests is that the 6 days of yontif actually can fit in to the 6 days of Maisa Bereishis. So I just left it open because I don't want to leave out a detail. So it's all really excellent. So in other words, so where do we start? So we'll start in the beginning of the Yantav. So what's the first Yantav? The first Yantav is Pesach. So what's the first day of creation? So first day of creation, Yom Rishon. So, right? So the first day of Pesach parallels the first day of creation. Meaning, how does the Torah describe the first day of, the first day of creation? So the Torah says Yom Echad. Right? Not Yom Rishon, but Yom Echad. Why? So if you look at Rashi over there in Chumash, Rashi brings down. Because on the first day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was by himself. There was no Malachim, there was nothing. I mean, it was just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Pesach, what happens? So we say in the Haggadah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down by himself. Ani v'lo Malach, Ani v'lo Saraf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes strictly by himself, and he takes the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So that is how the first day of the first Yom Tov, meaning Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, corresponds to the first day of creation. Now let's go to the second day of creation. Second day of creation now corresponds. We're just going to move in the calendar. So what's the next Yom Tov that we're going to hit? No, not Shavuos. Wait, back up one. Shvi Shel Pesach. So Shvi Shel Pesach. That's the next Yom Tov. What happens on the second day of creation? So Kadosh Baruch Hu divides the upper water and the lower water. And so Rabbi Kornfeld suggests, now take a look at the Shvi Shel Pesach. What is Shvi Shel Pesach? That's Kriyas Yam Suf. That's the separation of water. So that's day two. Day three of creation. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is making now the fruit-bearing trees on the third day of creation. So now, what yontif are we now up to? Now we're up to Shavuos. So you write, good. So Bikorim are brought on Shavuos, and Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah tells us that Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos. And they, for Peros. So the, good. So that is, so that's number three. Additionally, Rabbi Kornfeld also points out that how does the Torah describe the third day of creation? It says Kitov. How many times does it say Kitov on the third day of creation? It says it twice. It says Kitov twice. What happens on Shavuos? We're given the Torah. So the Torah is referred to as Tov. So that's another connection between the third day of creation and Shavuos. Now up to the fourth day of creation. What's the next Yantav that we're going to hit? The next Yantav we're going to hit is Rosh Hashanah. What happens on the third day of creation? The sun, the moon, the stars, meaning the seasons. Right? I'm up to the fourth day. I apologize. Thank you. The fourth day of creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, That's obviously Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is where now we begin with Rosh Chodesh and the counting of the months. Then, okay, in other words, everything's set into motion. Okay, now we're up to the fifth day of creation. So what? Now we skip Yom Kippur because remember, Yom Kippur is going to be connected to Shabbos. Right. So now we're up to the fifth Yontif. So what's the next Yontif? Next Yontif is Sukkos. So Sukkos, so Rabbi Kornfeld suggests that what happens on the fifth day of creation is that the water produces all living creatures, meaning all your living creatures, not all your animals, but which animals are created on day five? The animals that are coming out of the water, right? The fish and all the Torah describes all the animals emerging from the water. And on Sukkos, what's our big theme for Sukkos? Water. Water is our big theme for Sukkos. Nisach Hamayim and Geshem and davening for rain. So that's the fifth day of creation. And finally, now we're up to the sixth day of creation. So the last yontiv of the season, Shmini Atzeres. Okay, that's the end. That's the season finale. So what is Shmini Atzeres? Is what? So Shmini Atzeres is the sixth day of creation. So that's Bria Sa'adam, that's the creation of man. So the creation of man is taking place on day six, and the sixth yontiv is Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is where we are basically accentuating how we are miyuchad, how we're special. Right, the 70 karbanos that are brought on the 7 days on the days prior to Sukkos, and then we get to Shmini Atzeres, and how many parim do we bring? One par, right, to accentuate the unique aspects of man. And then we get to Shabbos, and Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Now he notes, by the way, that based on this thought process, Rabbi Kornfeld notes that when you get to Shabbos and Yom Kippur, so now you can actually extend this analogy even one step further. Because what happened that first Shabbos for Adam HaRishon? Adam was chote prior to Shabbos, and then he was pardoned. When was he pardoned? He was pardoned on Shabbos. So that Shabbos now being the first, type, right, the first type of Yom Kippur, if you will. So in other words, he was pardoned on Shabbos. So that gives us now a prototype in which we ask Akash Baruch Hu for Mechila on on Yom Kippur, which is Shabbos-like, and we'll get a kapara. So it's really a thought-provoking commentary by Rabbi Kornfeld in terms of what the significance of Shivas Yamim, the 7 days, and Yom Kippur corresponding to the seventh day.
He's assuming creation is in Nisan.
Right. Neither here nor there. All right, Tanan Hassan, we are now going right into the Gemara. We are starting with a quote from a Mishnah in Parashivas Yamim, Kodin Sarif Tzapara, Hayu Mafisha Mamma, Sarif Tzapara, Mibeso Lilishka Shapnei Abira, Safona Mizracha. There's another time in Halacha where we sequester, and that's for the Paraduma. Paraduma is the preparation of the Paraduma. The Paraduma is a carbon, but not a carbon. Right, the best way to describe it as being a carbon is because the Torah actually calls it a chatas. On the other hand, the best way to describe it as not being a carbon is that we don't shechten the Beis HaMikdash and we don't sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach and we do none of that. What we do with the Paradum is we take it outside east of the Beis HaMikdash and it is shechted east of the Beis HaMikdash. It's facing the Heichal, but it's not actually in the Heichal. And then after that, then it's burnt to ashes, reduced to ashes by burning it. And then there's an Osef, there's one who collects it, and okay, in other words, a number of Kohanim are involved. So the Mishnah in Parah tells us that the Kohen is going to do the Sreifa, so he's going to be sequestered also for 7 days. Now, where is he placed? So the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah in Parah. First Mishnah, third Parak in Parah. So the Mishnah tells us, I'm going to just read the Mishnah one more time. Shivas Yamim Kohen Sreifa Sapara, 7 days prior to the burning of the Parah Duma. Hayim Afishin Kohen Sreifa Sapara, they would sequester the person who, the Kohen who was burning the Paraduma, mi beso, lelishka sha'a pene habira, in a chamber that was on the bira. Now let's say, right now an ambiguous term, we'll try to explain that a little bit better later on this morning. Safona Mizracha, it's somewhere in the northeast. Velishka beisa even aysa nekres, now it was called lishkas beisa even. Velama nekres shmo lishka beisa even, unusual name, why is it called lishkas beisa even? So the Gemara explains, Shekoma seb klika lalam klia vanim klia dama, because any kalim that are used over there were going to be impervious to tumma proof kalim. Now, how can you make a kli tumma proof? Isn't any kli susceptible to tumma? No, not every kli is susceptible to tumma. A kli that is a natural kli that required no processing is not going to be susceptible to tumah. So kli galalim, that's a kli made out of dung of an animal, excrement of an animal. Allow it to be hardened and dried, it could simply fashion into a kli. So kli avanim, or let's say you just simply poke a hole in stone and use that stone now as a kli. Or kli adama. Kli adama, as Rashi points out, not kli cheres. Kli cheres is pottery, earthenware, formed, fashioned. Kli adama just simply means a clod of earth that somehow is shaped into a kli. All these kalim are impervious to tumah.
You make something.
What's that?
Holding the stone, or it has to be actually there?
No. It sounds like my thinking is that you can even make a hole in the stone, and it's still impervious to tumah. So my taima. So the Gemara explains now why do we do that? In other words, why do we put this kohen who's going to burn the paraduma in an environment where it's going to be a tumah free environment? So the Gemara explains my taima came into tful yom kasher bepara, because in truth a tful yom can do the avoda for the paraduma. And tvul yom, meaning somebody who's tamei, toveled in the mikvah, but still needs hair of shemesh. We normally associate him as having some sort of residual tumah. Right? A little remnant of tumah until the sun sets. Usually in halacha we're describing as being a sheni l'tumah. And meanwhile, he, a kohen who is a tvul yom, can do the avoda of the paraduma. In fact, we do that. Meaning, the halacha doesn't demand that he has to be a tful yom. The halacha just simply allows him to be a tful yom. It's okay. But what we do is we go out of our way to put him in a state of being a tful yom, which means that on the day that he's going to burn the paraduma, we're going to be metame him, we'll have him tov on the mikvah, to make sure that he's in the state of being a tvul yom. Why would we do that? Well, what purpose would that be? So the Mishnah tells us, again, we're going back to the third parak of the Mishnayos and Para. The reason why is lahotzi miliban shel tzidukim. Because those tzidukim, a sectarian group of Jews living during the Second Temple, second half of the Second Temple, so they were questioning, challenging the Torah Shabbat Peh. And they focused much more on the Torah Shabbat Chsav, and they rejected the Torah Shabbat Peh. So one of the things they rejected is that Torah Shabbat Peh that tells us that when it comes to the burning of the paraduma, you don't have to be tahor. You don't have to be 100% tahor. You can be a tvul yom. In other words, you don't have to be totally free of tumah. You could be just have a residual set of tumah, and that would be okay. That, how do we know that? Torah Shabbat Peh. We know that because of the old tradition. If you look at the Torah and the Pesukim themselves, the Pesukim say that it has to be ish tahor. It has to be a Torah individual. But we know, because we have Torah Shabbat Peh, that's not accurate, but that's not the pshat. The pshat is that he can even be a tvul yom. Well, the tzedukim who reject the Torah Shabbat Peh, they looked at the Torah and they said, no, he has to be ish tahor. He has to be free of any type of tumah. He has to have gone through both a tefillah and Harav Shemesh. That's the opinion of the tzedukim. So it came to a point in time where there had to be a public demonstration that the tzedukim were not correct. And to that end, what we did during Bais Sheni is that when a kohen was about to do the avoda with the paraduma, so we actually put him in a position where he was a tvul yom, so that to show the tzedukim, hey, the tzedukim, you guys are not right. You don't have a right. Now we are. It's an awkward situation now where we're basically demanding some level of tumah when doing the paraduma. But again, everything's okay. It's totally legitimate. The Torah Shabbat Peh says that that's allowed. So, but now what could happen is a false perception. Oh, tumah's okay. A little bit of tumah's okay. So, what then the Chachamim insisted is that we counterbalance. Being that we're going to take the Kohen who's going to do the Sreifa Sapara and put him in a quasi fit of tumah, so to counterbalance and make sure that no one has any type of attitude, oh, a little tumah's okay with the Paraduma, so we go overboard. It's okay if I say that? We go overboard in terms of all other activities leading up to the paraduma. And we will put this kohen in a totally tahor state, in a tahor environment, sequestering him in the lishka, by the bira, in the northeast corner, making sure that all the kelim he uses is impervious to tumah, and other things. Meaning, we're just, right now, this is just a selection of things. And when we get to the Gemara in Sukkah, I think second perek in Sukkah, we're going to discuss more things that were done to counteract any type of attitude of, oh, Tumah's fine by Paraduma. No, it's not fine. And there were other things that were done in order to counteract that attitude. This is just being one of them, that he is in a Tumah-free environment. But the reason why we do all this is because these extreme measures is because we're gonna be metame him right before he burns the paraduma, have him tovel the mikvah, and say to the tzedukim, we have tarsh ba'peh, this is okay. Again, the Gemara now is just simply spelling all this out. They say that tzedukim say that in order for to do the avodah of the paraduma, you have to be totally tahor, have undergone tefillah and Har Shemesh. So tekila rabbanan kli galam kli avanan kli adama dolo likbalu tuma ki heche dolo lizalzulu ba. So what we do to counterbalance the idea that now we're going to be metame him and have him tovel in the mikvah, so we're going to go to extreme measures of tahara so that people do not have a lax attitude regarding the paraduma. Okay, Adkan. The reason why we're here, meaning let's not lose the forest because of all these trees. The reason why we're here is just simply pointing out that this is another area in halacha where someone gets sequestered for 7 days. Paraduma. So two times in halacha where there's a sequestering. One is by Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol doing the avoda, and the second time is by the paraduma for the Kohen who's going to be burning the paraduma. Mind you, by the way, just a quick point to consider. Who gets sequestered by the paraduma? By Yom Kippur, the answer is obvious. It's a Kohen Gadol, because he's going to be doing all the avodas. In fact, Rashi back in the Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol will be doing all the avodas. As we go through the Masechta, we will see that the Kohen Gadol is involved in everything. Every aspect of the avoda is done by the Kohen Gadol. So the sequestering is obviously done by the Kohen Gadol. Paraduma, it's clear. Who gets sequestered? Well, it's clear when you read the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah says that the one who does the Sreifa is sequestered. But there are many other participants in the Paraduma. There is the Osef HaEfer, the one who gathers the Efer. There's the one who shechs the Paraduma. Now, it could all be the same Kohen, but usually done by a team of Kohanim. So who gets sequestered? So that's a debate. Right? The Rishonim debate it. Right? I saw in some of the notes, Achronim debate it as well. Okay, so not totally clear. But just to leave it simple, though, for our purposes of the Daf Yomi, so let's just simply say the Kohen who's burning the Paraduma. I mean, that's the Mishnah. So we could just keep it simple. So Maishnat Safana Mizrach, the Gemara just takes a small tangent. As long as we quote the Mishnah in Parah, why northeast? Why was the Kohen stationed in the northeast section of the Bira? So the Gemara says, Kevin de Chatasi, because the Paraduma is a Chatas. Okay, now again, between us friends, it's not really a Chatas. Okay, it's not Shecht in the Azara on the north side, but the Torah refers to it as a Chatas. So that reference that the Paraduma is referred to as a Chatas, Chatas tunit Safona, and we know that the carbon Chatas, much like a carbon Ola, it's a vote, it has to be done on the north side of the Azara, so therefore as a remez to remind us that the Kohen stations himself on the north side of the Bira. And not only that, but when burning the Paraduma, you're facing the Azara. From which direction are you facing the Azara? You're on the east side of the Azara, meaning what we would call nowadays Har Zeisim, right? Mount of Olives. So you're on the east side facing the Azara, so therefore the Kohen is being stationed for 7 days on the northeast, north to remind us that it's a quasi-chatas, and east to remind us that when it's burnt on the east side. Okay, so symbolism in terms of why he's staying in the northeast. So, Takino la Rabbanon Elishkat Safon HaMizrach, Kehech Da'av Aleh HaKera. So the Gemara says it reminds us. My Bira, what does it mean that this Lishka, that the Kohen is being sequestered? Now remember, we're talking about the Mishnah in Parah, not our Mishnah. The Mishnah part says that the Kohen was stationed in the northeast section of the Bira. What is the Bira? Amar Rabbi Baruchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Malkam Hayabar Abayis, who Bira Shmo. Okay, so there was a place somewhere in Har Abayis, and the name was Bira. So it's somewhere in Har Abayis. Reish Lakish Amar Kolam Mikdash Kula Kari Bira. So Reish Lakish says, no, Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the Bira. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, HaBira Asher HaChinosi. Period. Okay, so Machlokes amongst the Amoraim, what exactly is this area of Bira? Either it's the entirety of the area of the Har Abayis, or possibly the Bira is just a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, period. Okay, Adkan, so now, The Gemara is going to take a larger, a pullback from the whole discussion, a larger picture of why. Why is it that by the Parah Aduma we have 7 days of sequestering? Why is it by Yom Kippurim we have 7 days of sequestering? A simple question. Where does this come from? Where in the Torah does the Torah tell me that when it comes to Yom Kippur, you need Shivas Yamin, 7 days of the Kohen in separation? Where's the source of that? And by Parah Aduma, same question. Where does it come from? So it's not stated explicitly in the Pesukim. We're going to arrive at this based on drashas. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, the Gemara is going to answer. Minahani Mili, we're about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud on Beis Amud Aleph. Minahani Mili, how do I know this? So the Gemara says, Amar of Minyumi Bar Chilki, Amar of Mechasya Bar Idi, Amar of Yochanan, Amar Kra. So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk. Kasher Asa Bayom Hazeh, Tziva Hashem, La'asos L'chaper Aleichem. Pasuk is regarding the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. 7 inaugural days. Before the Mishkan finally was put into operation, what was the first day of operation for the Mishkan?
Nisan.
The first day of Nisan was the Mishkan of the second year as we were going through the Midbar. So that was the first day of operations for the Mishkan. And there the Torah goes into detail describing, right before Parsha Shmini, the Torah goes into detail describing that there were 7 inaugural days. And the Gemara says, Kasher Asaba Yom HaZeh, just like you did on this day, Tziva Hashem, La'asos L'chaper Aleichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to tease out from this Pasuk 2 references. One reference to Yom Kippur, and another reference to Parah Aduma. So where are these references? So the Gemara is going to focus on 2 words. La'asos, Elo Maaseh Para. So the word La'asos, that's a reference to Parah Aduma. Okay? We're going to have to try to sharpen that connection. How does the word Asiyah have to do with Parah Aduma? Asiyah could be referring to a number of things. And Lechaper, Elo Maaseh Yom HaKippurim. And Lechaper, that's a reference to Yom Kippur. That one seems to be a little bit easier. Lechaper, Yom Kippur, I think we can all agree that sounds right. Now, Bishlam, Akule, Krabbe, Paralam, Matukam, Lechaper, Tziv. Now, to say that the entire Pasuk is a reference to Parah Aduma, Gemara says that we cannot say. Why? Because Lechaper. Upara lav bas kaparahi. The purpose of Parah Aduma is not kapara. Purpose of Parah Aduma is to be mitayer. Someone came into contact with a mace. So how does he mitayer himself? Parah Aduma. That's not kapara. That's not atonement. Now it's interesting if you look at Rashi. You thought of it also. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says why are we instructed to bring the Parah Aduma? It provides a kapara for the cheta ego. Okay. He has a piece on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't see the piece. I'll take a look. So right, correct. In other words, my first reaction to that, like Danny, is okay. That's a symbolism. That's maybe something that's behind the Parah Aduma, but in terms of Lamaisa, brass taxes, like what is the Parah Aduma accomplishing? What is it achieving? It's making people taller. So it's not for the purposes of kapara. So so I know that the whole pasuk can't be talking about Parah Aduma. So fine. So that I get. But Ela Ema. But let's say the following: Ela Ema Kule Krabi Yom Kippurim Ksiv. Can't we argue that the entire pasuk is a reference to Yom Kippur? So Amrei. So the Gemara says that there's a little bit more behind the drasha. The drasha is not just simply, we'll throw out a couple of words and we'll see what sticks. Right? And lasos is Yom Kippur and Mechaper is Yom Kippur and lasos is para. It's a little bit more than that. It's based on Gzeira Shava. Yalev Tziva Tziva. We're going to now employ Gzeira Shava, which is going to create a connection, a hard connection between the Miluim and these other two mitzvahs of the Torah. Ksiv hacha tziva Hashem la'asos, it says by the Meluim. Ksiv Hashem la'asos. Ksiv hasam, it says over there, Zos chukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem le'mor. So malahalam parah afkam parah. So now we have a gzeira shava that connects the tziva of the Meluim to the tziva of the parah. Ma'kan prisha af lahalam prisha. Just like over here, there's a mitzvah of parish, of separation by the Meluim, so too by the parah duma. Top of beiz amud beiz, ve'ema. Tziva tziva di Yom HaKippurim. So maybe the Gzeirah Shava takes us to Yom Kippur. Now, by the way, from the Gemara, it's clear that I don't need a Gzeirah Shava for Yom Kippur. Meaning for Yom Kippur, the fact that it says by the Meluim L'chaper, that is a direct a direct go to Yom Kippur. The Gzeirah Shavah is only for Parah Aduma. So the Gemara says, but can't I redirect the Gzeirah Shavah to Yom Kippur? Now it's interesting because the Gemara sounds like over here that how we're going to make a Gzeirah Shavah is somewhat pliable. Meaning we're going to simply move the Gzeirah Shavah into the direction of Yom Kippur. We're not usually that arbitrary when it comes to Gzeirah Shavah. Gzeirah Shavah is something that you have as a tradition from your Rebbe. So you don't normally just simply conjure up Gzeirah Shavah. So the Gemara's discussion over here needs a little bit better understanding how the Gemara can just simply redirect the Gzeirah Shavah. But, okay, that's something to think about. Maybe the Gzeirah Shavah is telling us to go to Yom Kippur. The Torah says by Yom Kippur, Siva. So why can't we do that? So the Gemara says, Siva d'lefnei asiya, mitziva d'lefnei asiya. Sorry, I missed a word. Dunin. Siva d'lefnei asiya, mitziva d'lefnei asiya. Vein dunin, siva d'lachar asiya, mitziva d'lefnei asiya. The Gzeirah Shavah is a better Gzeirah Shavah for Parah Aduma because the formula of the Pasuk fits better. Meaning by Meluim, what did the Torah say? It said, Siva Hashem Lasos. First Siva, then Asiya. When you go to the pasuk by Parah Aduma, the Torah says, Zos Chukas, the Torah Shir Siva Hashem Lemor, and then you go on and the Asiya comes afterwards. So it's a better Gzeirah Shavah than that of Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur has the Asiya before the Tziva. Seems to be like a technicality. Just a better Gzeirah Shavah, textually wise. The Ema, Siva de Karbanos. Well, look, we have a Gzeirah Shavah. Maybe the Gzeirah Shavah should take us into the direction of Karban. What the Gemara now is suggesting, it's an interesting suggestion, is that maybe every time you bring a Karban. Now, Rashi, by the way, it's a note the Rashi over here. Rashi over here says that we're talking about Karban Sibor, not just any Karban. But okay, but what the Gemara now is suggesting is that any time a Kohen brings Karban Sibor, so what he needs to do is sequester for 7 days. And we learn that from the Meluim based on the Gzeirah Shavah. That's the Gemara's suggestion. And why? Why would I have a Gzeirah Shavah for all Karbanos Tichsiv? Because it says, B'yam Tzavaso is B'nei Yisrael. The Torah says, B'yam Tzavaso. So, Danin Tziva Mitziva means Danin Tziva Tzavaso Mitziva. So again, the word is not exactly the same. To which the Gemara asks one of the most popular questions in all of Shas, you'll see this question again and again. We create on one occasion a Gzeirah Shavah, and the words are not even the same, but they mean the same. So we create a Gzeirah Shavah even if the words are not exactly identical, or not even the same, just with the same meaning. So just because one place it says Siva and the other one it says Tzavaso, and you're ready to dismiss a Gzeirah Shavah? So Hani Milahecha Daleka Dadamila Hecha Deika Dadamila Mi Dadamila Yafinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, if I have no choice, so then I'll make a Gzeirah Shavah even to dissimilar words with similar meanings. But here, if I have a choice, so I'd rather go to Tziva Tziva where it's an identical match. Fine. Okay, so, question. How do I know for Parah Aduma you sequester for 7 days before doing the Sreifa of the Parah Aduma? Answer, it's based on Gzeirah Shavah. Okay, next. Lichaper, Eilu Masa Yom HaKippur. Now the next halacha in the Torah where there's a 7 day sequestering period for the Kohen is going to be Yom Kippur. How do I know that? Once again, the Meluim by the Parsha of Meluim, it says Lichaper, and we assume that Lichaper is a reference to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, now it's a great reference, but it has to be Yom Kippur. Ve'im HaKapar de Karbanos. So the Gemara says, can it refer to any carbon? Meaning the purpose of bringing carbon is to provide a kapara. Now again, typically that's more connected with chatas than it is with other carbonos, but still, can we say it's talking about carbonos in general? Mi yadin and haikoin misrami debai le prisha. Well, the Gemara says over there, isn't there going to be like a technical problem? Because if we're just talking about the generality of carbonos, any kohen could be doing the avoda. So how do I know who's going to get sequestered? To which the Gemara says that's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but it's solvable. Amre alamalo. The Gemara says, well, why not? Nibayle prisha lekule mishmeres beisav. So we'll have the entire mishmar, meaning we know whose shift is working that week. So we'll have the entire shift being sequestered in preparation of the karbana. So it's not a big deal. So done in davar shekavu lozman, mi davar shekavu lozman, lafuki karbanos techol yuma istnehu. So the Gemara says, no. Because what we're going to basically do is, we're going to make a connection from Miluim to something which is more similar to Miluim. Karbanos is way too general. Karbanos are offered every day, twice a day, more on Shabbos. Meaning Karbanos is, it's too big an area. Miluim is only an occasional event. I mean, truth of the matter is, right, once. But in other words, it's an event. So if we're gonna compare another time in halacha where I need 7 days sequestering, it has to be like a more of an event type day. And karbanos in general is not obviously not an event type day, it's daily. Ve'ema regalim. So the Gemara says, okay, you want an event? Yontif. Yontif is an event. So why don't we have a sequestering before Yontif? So the Gemara's answer is done in Davish and Oig Pamachas Bashana Midavar and Oig Pamachas Bashana La Fuga Regalim Tala Pamachas Bashana. Well, if it's regal in general, regal is three times a year. We want more of an event. Yom Kippur is more of an event. One time a year. So Delav Pamachas Bashana Ninu. Ve'emo regal achad. Well, the Gemara says, well, why don't we choose a Yontif? Yeah, let's do that. Let's choose a Yontif and let's decide this is a Yontif where we're going to have sequestering for 7 days. And the Gemara says, okay, what do you mean choose? Well, which one are we going to choose? Well, I could choose Pesach, and Pesach is a wonderful choice because it is the first Yontif of the year. Or maybe we could choose Sukkos. Sukkos got a lot of mitzvahs. Right? Sukkos, Rashi points to four mitzvahs of Sukkos. Lulav. Sukkah.
Sukkah is not practical because you get Yom Kippur the 7 days before
that. He'll be this the Kohen, whatever Kohen's doing, the avoda for Sukkah will be sequestered, even on Yom Kippur. You know, this is not the conclusion. The Gemara is just like, kind of like thinking out loud now. Hol merubah mitzvaso. Again, the four mitzvahs of Sukkah are lulav, Sukkah, arava nisuch hamayim. That's a lot of mitzvahs. Ela dan in prisha shiva. Liyom echad, mi prisha shiva liyom echad, vein dan prisha shiva l'shiva, mi prisha shiva liyom echad. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why it's not good. Because what we're really looking for is a 7 day sequestering for a 1 day event. The Meluim, 7 days of sequestering for a 1 day event. So now it has to be historically, or not historically, but now if we're going to say that another mitzvah is going to have a 7 day sequestering period, it's got to be 7 day sequestering for a 1 day event. Pesach is a 7 day event. Sukkot is a 7 day event. Obviously, I left out Shmini Atzeres because I know what the next question of the Gemara is going to be. Ve'ema Shmini, Deprisha Shivas Liyom Echadu. So the Gemara says, okay, but what, let's suggest now that there should be a 7 day sequestering period for a Kohen to do the Avodah Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a 1 day event. Now it's interesting, you're sequestering this Kohen. Now I'll ask you a question. Right, you're sequestering this Kohen over the course of Sukkos. Right, where I guess maybe we'll sequester him in a Sukkah. Maybe. Again, you know the Gemara is not going to end on this point. So dan and davar she'ein kedusha lafanav midavar she'ein kedusha lafanav ein dan and davar sheyesh kedusha lafanav midavar she'ein kedusha lafanav. So the Gemara says, well, no. Again, we look at the prototype. What was the prototype sequestering with the Meluim? The Meluim, there was no kedushas hayom during those 7 days of Meluim. They were just simply seven preparatory days, days devoid of Kedusha. So in translating that now into an event, we're looking for an event day that has no preparatory days of Kedusha. If we're talking Shmini Atzeres has 7 days prior which have Kedusha. So the Gemara says, V'lav kavachomer, well, can we make a simple logical argument? Which is, Hashta davashen kedush lafanav bal prisha, davashiyesh kedush lafanav lo koshakein? Well, if a day doesn't have kedush in front of it, and that requires sequestering, so a day that does have kedush in front of it, kavachomer shouldn't require sequestering? So Amar of Misharsha, lo hazek siv kazeh. So Misharsha terminates the entire discussion by saying very simply, no, look, when the Torah in the Meluim is telling us that there will be another day like this, the Torah says, Kazeh. It's going to be like this. So you're right. You want to make a logical argument how sequestering should be done for Shmini Atzeres? Maybe a wonderful argument. It may be logical. But the Torah is telling us, Kazeh. No, it has to mimic, it has to model Shivas Yemei Meluim. Shivas Yemei Meluim are 7 days that are devoid of Kedusha, preparing us for a one-day event. So we have to look for somewhere else on the calendar where it's 7 days devoid of Kedusha, bringing us to a one-day event. The only candidate is Yom Kippur. Good. Fine. Stop. We'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. So again, just a quick recap. So today we went over the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Masechta. The first Mishnah details the 7 days of preparation where the Kohen is sequestered during those 7 days. Over the course of the Mishnah is coming up ahead, we're going to discuss what happens during those 7 days, what does the Kohen do during those 7 days. We'll talk more about that later on. The discussion in the Mishnah, the debate in the Mishnah, whether or not we set up the Kohen. We certainly set up a deputy for the Kohen in the event that something happens to the Kohen. Do we also set up another wife for the Kohen as well? Because he needs to be married on Yom Kippur. Debated in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And then the Gemara's discussion is, basically, where else in Halacha do we have this idea of sequestering? Answer, Paraduma. Paraduma is another occasion where we have the sequestering. And how do I know this? So the Gemara basically generates this Halacha based on the Shivas Yimei Meluim. Shivas Yimei Meluim, the Torah tells us that Aaron and his sons were sequestered for those 7 days prior to the inauguration of the Mishkan, and there are going to be now halachically two other times where that's going to happen. Once for the Paraduma, and one is for Yom Kippur. And that's based on the wording in the pasuk where the Torah describes it as both an asiya and as a kapara. But as we pointed out, Paraduma is really Gzereshava, and Yom Kippur is based on Lechaper, and the fact that the Torah says the word Kazeh. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first daf of Yuma.